Empowering the Future. Welcome to Powering the Future, a podcast series where you will hear from industry experts and academicians on topics that impact us as an individual and as a professional.
In this third episode of our Asset Integrity Management AIM podcast series, Mr. Dominic Elton from TÜV-SÜD is in discussion with Dr. Johanna Steinbott, Senior Expert, Fracture Mechanics and FFS Industrial Services at TÜV-SÜD, on the topic of FFS assessment. This is Stephanie, handing over to Mr. Elton, the host for this episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we have the privilege of welcoming a true luminary in the field of physics and fracture mechanics. Dr. Johanna Steinbock, a renowned physicist hailing from Germany, brings a wealth of knowledge and expertise that has significantly added value to various industrial plant operators around the globe. Dr. Steinbock earned her PhD from the prestigious University of the Bundeswehr in Munich, where she delved into the fascinating realm of influence of different mechanical loads on fatigue crack growth in steels and aluminium alloys. Her pioneering work laid the foundation for her remarkable career. Over the years, Dr. Steinbock has donned many hats, serving as a scientific associate and contributing her brilliance to a diverse array of research topics. Her contributions span from determining the mechanical properties of materials, conducting lifetime assessments, performing intricate microstructural analyses, to unraveling the intricacies of fractography. Dr. Steinbock's body of work speaks volumes. With a multitude of publications centered around fracture mechanics and damage assessments, she's been a guiding force in helping major industrial production facilities make informed decisions regarding the operation of critical assets, even in the presence of damaged mechanisms discovered through non-destructive testing. Currently, Dr. Steinbock serves as the leading engineer in fitness for service assessments at TÜV-SÜD, where her influence extends across the globe. Her dedication to the field is exemplified by her role in training and qualifying numerous engineers, ensuring that her profound knowledge and insights continue to benefit industries worldwide. It is our honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Steinbock to this interview, where we will have the opportunity to delve deeper into the subject matter, fitness for service assessments. Dr. Steinbock, please let me start by asking you the following. What is fitness for service, FFS, and why is it a crucial concept in industrial settings?
Mr. Elton, thank you very much for the wonderful introduction. I really appreciate your wording in it. Well, what is fitness for service? Fitness for service, FFS, is a systematic engineering approach used to assess the structural integrity of industrial, mostly pressurized equipment. It's an essential concept because it enables us to determine quantitatively whether and under which conditions aging equipment with certain damages can continue to operate safely. This is especially the case when a method called non-destructive testing has identified some degradation like corrosion or cracks in a specific asset. In those cases, FFS is essential for decision making around the extent of the life of assets, planning the life for repair or maintenance. It is one of the parameters that plant operators require to make an informed decision on resuming the operations.
If it is only one of the parameters, what are the primary advantages of implementing FFS in industrial operations? Why should plant operators apply FFS as a means to support their decision-making?
Well, FFS offers several key advantages. Regarding safety assurance, FFS assessment helps to ensure the safety and integrity of in-service equipment by evaluating their structural soundness. This is crucial for preventing accidents, failures, and leaks that can have catastrophic consequences. Furthermore, cost saving. By using FFS assessment, plant operators can extend the fitness for service of equipment without compromising safety, potentially avoiding costly replacements or repair. They would do so while adhering to international proven engineering standards. Furthermore, they can improve reliability. Not all defects are served. FFS assessments can identify and quantify the severity of defects or damage, enabling operators to make informed decisions about the continued operation of equipment. Compliance with regulations. Compliance with FFF standards such as the API 579 helps operators to meet regulatory requirements and avoid fines or legal issues. Furthermore, it's environmentally friendly. The extent of the service life of equipment through fitness for service assessments reduces the need for premature equipment replacement, which can have a positive environmental impact by reducing waste and energy consumption associated with manufacturing and disposal. Furthermore, it improves basis for data-driven decision-making. Fitness for service assessments provide a systematic and data-driven approach to decision-making. They consider factors like material properties, load conditions, and damage mechanisms, allowing operators to make well-informed choices about equipment integrity. Further advantages are minimized production disruption, risk management, and long-term planning.
Dr. Steinbock, what is the typical procedure in the conduction of FFS assessments? Just elaborate a bit on that for our listeners, please.
Well, typically you will start with the data collection. You need the design specifications and drawings, the operation conditions, and the specific record where the damage is quantified, and the data to operation history. This information serves as the foundation for the assessment. Then, in the next step, an identification of the relevant damage mechanism is done. Common damage mechanisms, for example, are corrosion, fatigue, stress corrosion cracking, and brittle fracture. It's then understanding which mechanism needs to be assessed is crucial for the assessment. Then you move on to assume the specific material properties and do the stress analyzing. Typically, you would collect and review material properties, including tensile strength, yield strength, fracture toughness, and corrosion rate, things like that. You know, accurate material data is essential for reliable fitness for service assessment. This is to be followed by a proper stress analysis. This involves determination of the stress and strain experienced by the equipment under relevant operating conditions. For complex structures, we use a finite element analysis to derive the stresses. Next step would be the use of an assessment criteria to determine if the equipment is fit for service. These steps involve comparing the calculated stresses and strains with the allowable limits, considering the safety factors according to codes and standards. Then to calculate the remaining life. For this, you may use again the NDT data to consider the right growth rate of defects or cracks. Add to suit, if necessary, we apply advanced fracture mechanics for that step. When you have done all of that, you would be approaching the decision-making part of the assessment. Based on the assessment results, you can now advise to make informed decisions regarding the continued operation of the equipment. Possible decisions include continued operation, repair, replacement, or modification to improve safety. You finish it all by a proper documentation. Add to suit, even using our proprietary app, the Fitness for Service Assessment We then engage in peer review verification to validate the assessment's accuracy and ensure that it follows best practice. Let me mention that we recommend our customers to do Curing assessment. This is reasonable as the state of FFS might be changing with further operation. Periodically reassesses the equipment to account for changes in operation conditions, new inspection data, and evolving industrial standards. This ensures the continued safety and integrity of equipment.
And could you highlight some common mistakes made when applying FFS methodologies?
Well, common mistakes include underestimating the significance of damage mechanism, relying on inaccurate material property data, and misunderstanding the FFF process. Failing to adequately consider the damage mechanisms can lead to wrong assessment procedures, and errors in material data can result in incorrect conclusions. Proper knowledge of the FFF process is essential. Another key mistake is to underestimate the value of very good NDT inspections. FFS assessments require quantitative data from NDT, and that data must be accurate enough to be used as input for the computational analysis.
Thank you for bringing the topic of non-destructive testing, NDT. Dr. Steinbock, please elaborate a bit on this. How does FFS relate to non-destructive testing, and why is it vital in this context?
FFS and NDT are closely related. NDT provides the essential data for FFS assessments by evaluating the extent of damage, defects, or degradation in the equipment. Thus, it ensures the accuracy of fitness for service assessments and is its starting point.
Can you explain the connection between degradation mechanisms, fracture mechanics, and API 579 algorithms in FFS assessment?
This is a great question, Mr. Alton. You are impressing me a lot with it. This question is indeed fundamental if you want to understand what we do in fitness for service assessments. See, degradation mechanisms, such as corrosion and fatigue, impact the structural integrity of equipment each in a certain way, so that you must take the relevant correlations to estimate the value of impact. Whereas fracture mechanic principles assess only how cracks or defects affect the component structure. And the API 579, as one of the leading international codes for fitness for service, picks up the algorithms and brings them together so that in an FFF assessment, the degradation and, if necessary, a crack can be considered to ensure safety and reliability of equipment. This, Mr. Alton, is the FFS assessment.
Dr. Steinbock, today everyone is concerned about sustainability. Our only planet Earth is experiencing an increase in temperature, and globally, scientists agree that we must work intensely on decarbonizing our atmosphere. How do you, being the mother of two human beings, help? Means in what ways do FFS assessments contribute to a more sustainable world and decarbonization goals?
FFS supports sustainability by extending asset life cycles, reducing the need for new equipment manufacturing, and curbing carbon emission, and it minimizes unplanned downtime, reducing energy consumption and emissions, and in some cases, it prevents catastrophic failures that can lead to environmental harm, as it shows that the integrity state isn't sufficient any longer and measures have to be taken.
Could you share a success story where FFS significantly improved sustainability and safety in an industrial operation?
Certainly. For example, in a chemical plant, the impact of general corrosion taking place in a critical pipeline was evaluated by FFS assessment. The corrosion had been detected by means of NDT. FFS assessment was able to qualify remaining life of the pipeline segment. The result was that the remaining wall thickness was more than sufficient to continue the operation under the same operational parameters for a longer period of time, specifically until the period of the next scheduled inspection, repair and maintenance. To be more on the safe side, we additionally applied permanently monitoring sensors to monitor the degradation 24/7. So instead of ordering unnecessary parts coming from somewhere in the world and having ships and trucks transporting it to the site, the plant could continue operation very safely. This is not only enhancing sustainability by reducing material waste, but also improved safety by preventing a potential leak.
And what is it like to be a senior FFS expert? And what recommendations do you have for plant operators looking to integrate FFS effectively into their maintenance planning?
Being a senior FFS expert is fulfilling, knowing that my work contributes to safety and sustainability. And a large variety of equipment and damages keep my work continuously challenging and interesting. For plant operators, I recommend to apply the asset integrity management approach, as it will not only cultivate and foster a safety-focused culture, but also by collaborating with RBI and FFS experts, plant operators will stay proactive and innovative and actively contributing to a more sustainable and more decarbonized world.
Well, thank you for sharing this wealth of knowledge and experience with us today.
Thank you too, Mr. Alton.
With that, we come to the end of this episode today. I would just like to remind our listeners that all episodes will be made available online. You may also subscribe to our podcast channel across all major streaming platforms. Thank you once again for listening, and we look forward to catching up with you on Toolsuit next episode of Powering the Future.